preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to this Thursday session of Abounding Grace Radio, and we're continuing our study of John chapter 4. Actually, we're concluding it with we've been studying this week, the woman at the well. And here Jesus is offering this woman, he's saying, if you had known who it is who asks you, said, give me a drink. If you had known who I am, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water. Now, this is we've been unpacking that this week on Abounding Grace. Jesus says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. We have been looking at this woman's problem. She had had five husbands. She had divorced five times, and the one whom she had now was not her husband. It was somebody else's. And so Jesus here is exposing her, but she has not yet seen her need for this living water. And in verse 15, she responds to this statement of Jesus offering this living water. She says, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst. Now, I said yesterday, if there was a period there, we would feel really a lot better about her. But it doesn't end there. That's not where it stops. Give me this water, sir, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And the whole point is any longer. What a tragedy. And this is the same thing she did in verse 11. Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? You don't have a bucket. But if you can do that so that I don't have to walk out here anymore, because this is a lot of work, getting all this water in the hot sun, it's extremely hard. If you can make life easy for me, that I don't have to come out here and draw anymore, I want it. Now, I said yesterday, I mean, if this were a prosperity message, you know, that would end here. That's not what Jesus is after, making life easy. Jesus is here after transforming dead hearts. And are you seeing the very same thing here as what occurred with Nicodemus? This prominent Nicodemus, teacher of Israel, Jesus had challenged about how to enter the kingdom. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And remember what Nicodemus said? Where's a womb for me to go get in again? And here, Jesus says to this woman, you need living water. And she responds, but you don't have a pitcher. The greatest tragedy of this account is her utter and complete spiritual blindness. She can't see her problem. She's dead. She can't perceive it. Now, this is two for two. Nicodemus, a church leader, and now, according to the Jews, a rotten half-breed adulteress. Same problem. Both were dead. They couldn't see their hearts. They were pursuing and trying to be filled with anything and everything other than Jesus. Can we see our hearts? You say of some hardened sinner out there, he should know he's dead, would you? Let me ask it this way. If Christ has filled you with life, then it should be pretty clear to you what fountains you once went to, because you're now ashamed of them. You're ashamed you ever went there. You should know the fountains you once tried. Maybe you're still at one and you don't think anything's wrong with it. You're trying to be filled like this woman in her case, man after man after man after man. Everyone has an idol. As Calvin said, our hearts are idol factories. These are little fountains that we run to. Although they're stagnant, we're always thirsty. Sir, I want this water that I may not thirst nor have to come up here anymore. Go call your husband and come here. You can hear the shock. Did you notice the way Jesus just exposed her? I don't want to have to come here anymore. This is hard work. She had come to Christ, who was sitting on the well, and Jesus says, go call your husband and come here. In other words, you have a problem that needs to be addressed at this water source. Speaking of himself, you see, this woman has been rather wordy the whole time, rather chatty, hasn't she? Long, extensive answers. All of a sudden, Jesus says, go, call your husband, and come here. I have no husband. Three words here in the Greek. Not have I husband, not have husband. Anger is coming out, frustration, embarrassment. Out of nowhere, he has just exposed her. Jesus has just exposed her life, and she doesn't like it. She does not want to be unmasked. Look, she had no sense of her guilt. No sense of seeing her problem. But it's not just that. She didn't know two things. Christ or her sin. You know, we tell people today, well, you know, you have to know you need salvation. Well, it's not just that. We have to know who it is who offers this living water. Jesus Christ, true man, true God, and what your problem is, how bad you are. You know, you never will see and never will want a covering if you don't know you're a sinner. You know, and this is really open here, isn't it? Jesus has just uncovered something, and look at how she reacts. She doesn't want to have it dealt with. You ever dealt with anyone covering sin? Everything's always great. You can talk about food. You can talk about the ball game. You can talk about really anything in life other than the real messed up issues that they're dealing with. And if you touch something they don't want touched, be ready for a blow up. This is what Jesus just did. You see what just happened? It's exactly what John chapter 3 said. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deed should be exposed. Christ has just exposed her alternate fountain. She wants nothing of it. So what does she do? She covered his exposure with the truth. I have no husband. Jesus says, you have well said, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. In that, you spoke truly. See the heart? When we want to conceal sin, when we are confronted, we do all we can to hide our sin and at the same time manipulate with the truth. I don't have a husband. You're correct. You've had five, and the one you now have is not yours. Explain. You've had this long record of divorces, and you go after that, and now you're just trying out some other woman's husband. It's not your husband. It's someone else's. Oh, he knew it all. We can manipulate others to conceal our sin, but we can never do it before the Lord, who knows all things and the one to whom we have to give an account of our lives. You see, we can substitute anything here. I will follow you, Jesus. I will drink your water. Give it to me to make my life easy. First, something needs to be brought here. Bring your idol. Bring your secret addiction. Bring your other life here that you haven't dealt with. I don't have that problem. Well said. You've had it for the past 20 years, and now you've concealed it with something else that is worse, and you're trying to justify it. You see, as painful as this exposure is, Jesus is offering her true satisfaction, true living waters that constantly spring up within her ultimately to satisfy her. So does she listen? Verse 19, Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Absolutely. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And you say, what? What does that have to do with her adultery? Bring your husband to me. No husband have I. Correct, you've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet, so where should we be worshiping? This is a total manipulation. I believe we should learn something from this about how easily we can manipulate to conceal our hearts. Paul warned about people who are obsessed with disputes over words and useless wranglings. They're always wanting to fight over some little thing. And what does that really expose? Well, it exposes that deep down they're trying to cover a void that is not filled and something they don't want to have exposed, and so they fight on other issues. Christ is discoursing with her about the gospel, about living water, and he is exposing her. He's exposing her need, her sin, and what is she doing? She's covering. But Christ here is pretty evident what he's doing. These living waters will mean nothing until you see that you have to be cleansed of your sin. And until we see that, we're on nothing but a path of denial. We're on nothing but a shifting of the subjects. I want to know about worship. I want to know about where you stand on this issue. I want to know about this and that. We have a long list of things that people and Christians fight over. Jesus takes her here to her real need. The fact that she needed to have her heart washed from this idolatry. I'm amazed at how tender Christ is. He could have jumped all over her in wrathful condemnation for her multiple divorces and adulteries. Go back to your first husband, then we'll talk. No, he didn't do that. He had already touched where he needed to. And in the next section, this is something she didn't forget. Come meet a man that told me everything I ever did. You see, Christ allows this conversation to take its place, and yet still provides her the great answer to her lost state. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." You know what I believe she was asking through all of her shifting here that goes on? She was saying, okay, I see you know my life. So where do I go? This mountain or that one? Where do I go to worship the Lord? You see, we would all just love our religion, our churches to be the answer. Where can I offer the bowl? Where can I hold up the beads? Where can I get absolution from a priest? Where can I go to just do this? What is Jesus' point? God is spirit. He's not an idol of your fancy or an idol of the nations. Your mountain is all wrong. Salvation has always been of the Jews, Jesus says. But I'm tearing down all those barriers. On both mountains, Gerizim and Jerusalem, no more earthly temples, no more curtains, no more sacrifice and offering. With my arrival on the scene of history, I'm creating a worshiping community that will worship me in spirit and in truth. Remember what he said? If you knew the gift of God, you would have asked, what's the gift of God? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The way one comes is through the inner man, having a transformed life by the Spirit, in accordance with the truth, seeing your sin, repenting of your sin, and knowing who is able to save your soul from death. That is Jesus Christ. He reveals himself here as the Messiah, the one who is able to give living water to thirsty sinners. Dear radio listener, have you received this living water? Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. On the web, we have all these radio addresses and sermons for you to download free of charge. LindenURC.com is the website. And you can give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.